welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the big technology shows that have gone on during the week, or Tory stories even. I'll start again, don't worry about it. I can edit. Patrice got that joke about an hour ago. We're here to discuss all the big stories in tech, all the things that have gone on this week, all the things that are happening, the movers and shakers, all the big stuff that's happening. There's been an awful lot associated with the UK encryption stuff, so we'll do a little bit on that, I'm sure, during the course of this evening. Joining me, great panel, starting us off, top left, it's Patrice Brendan-Moore. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm really great today.
Why? What's today opposed to other days?
I don't know.
Days?
It's something about Thursdays and...
In general?
In general, just being awesome. I don't know. Maybe it's because it's so close to the weekend.
Right.
And you've got or it's because of the Mac and the Big Show.
And you've got a... Well, exactly, is that. And and you've got a bridging day.
Not this week. Not this week.
Not this week. That's strange.
In 2 weeks again.
That's strange. Normally in May, it's just bridging days galore.
No, but another public holiday on Monday, so...
Have you not got a bridging day to that from last month?
No.
You're a bunch
sadly
of
not.
How the hell did you start a war? next to him, Carrie Holtzman. How the devil are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. I'm okay. I started off at 5 o'clock this morning, and I've got a train at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. And I'm sitting drinking with Muller, which is never going to help.
So just bored out of your mind, then?
No, I'm okay. I'm talking to you, so I can't be bored, can I?
That's right.
Excellent, mate.
If you can get a word in edgewise.
What have you been up to?
I'm just keeping busy, trying to stay out of trouble.
Excellent, mate.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds boring. Next to him, righty boy.
Hello, mate. Are you all right?
What's been going on, mate?
I have been a busy boy this week. I've been filming all week. I've been... editing, I've been doing all those sort of things that keep me happy. I love my new job, just absolutely adoring everything at the moment. So I'm a happy, smiley chap.
Good man. Still working for Hot Boss?
Oh yeah. Oh, she's hot this week.
Really? Because it's summer. Yeah. Is your wife all right with this, by the way, before we broadcast? I can edit.
She don't watch my shit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, same as mine. What have you been filming, says Batwinch?
If you really want to know, if you want to get into the weeds of it, it's a sustainable purchasing training videos.
Moving on.
Interesting.
Highly interesting.
Moving on. Hello, Muller.
Hello.
You all right, mate?
I am, yeah.
What's been happening with you?
Well, I've had family problems, but...
Yeah, no, we know.
I'm not going to go in with that.
No, absolutely not. But you've got a new toy, haven't you?
Yeah.
You're going to show us later, though. You're keeping it for your cool thing.
I'm keeping that for my cool thing.
Excellent, mate. Let me just turn your mic level up a little bit.
It could be because I'm not holding it.
There you go. You're holding it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
The week in tech, what's going on? Well, there was a famous encryption case here in the UK, which I'm sure we may talk about at some point, about a guy being told he didn't have to give over the password to his decrypted devices. But we carry on the show. That could go vertical really quickly, so we'll save that for a bit later. Patrice, do you want to start?
Go on. Yep. Before we get started,
yeah.
There's something that's bothering me.
Oh, go on.
In the lower right corner, it says Mac.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah, you're on the Mac show, mate. I lied. Actually, I've started a bit sooner because I have got an email that I need to go through. I was lucky enough, one of our listeners, Paul, owns a Tesla, and we were talking wildly about the Tesla the other week, and he wrote in and said, oh, you're talking a pile of bollocks about the Tesla. I've got a Tesla, would you like a test drive? So Paul came up on Tuesday and took me for a test drive in it, and we went for lunch in Sully Hill, and I got to drive it on the way back. And he's put some stuff in correcting us, so I'm gonna read through that. As to some of the things that we said in the car, not everything that you said on the podcast is correct. There's nothing major, but here are the corrections. As for price, the 60K price that you quoted from the sales girl in Birmingham was for the smaller battery without any options. I think from what I understood, you would notice that. The price is from around 110,000 once you've added all of the options. And the one that you drove in today was 82,000.
Oh, God.
So these aren't good corrections, not by any stretch. Fuel consumption comparisons. Assuming you can plan to use the superchargers, then saving is large. And the calculations that I've shown are now on 29,000 miles. So Paul told me, he said, I've nearly done 30,000 miles, 29,000 miles. Have a guess how much electricity that's cost me on my Tesla. Any stabs?
Zero?
Nope. Total, because he's got a readout, don't forget, from his home charging device, as well as...
4,000 Energizer bunnies.
In 18 months and 29,000 miles worth of driving, Paul has spent £59 on electricity. So that's 70 bucks.
Wow.
Pretty much. Yeah, wow. The range, 300 miles between charges, is nowhere near realistic. It's a bit like MPG figures quoted with petrol cars. Depends on the battery size, depends on how you're driving. He's got an 85 kilowatt battery, and the quoted range of over 300 miles is wrong. Realistically, I'll get 250 without many problems. I usually plan journeys based on 220. The Model 3 range is quoted as 2010, but I'd expect that to be around 170, given the same kind of levels of reduction. Autopilot that you spoke about is not illegal. The use of private on private land comment for it in the garage parking when no one's in the car is okay. He showed me how to drive it from his phone as well, which was pretty impressive. Using autopilot on public roads is fine, although the highway code, which you must obey, requires that you hold the steering wheel at all times. So legally using autopilot on the roads, you need to have my hands on the wheel just lightly. And on motorways, Tesla are more than happy with it. And I had a go with the autopilot technology, and it didn't do so. It certainly couldn't manage an island, and it wasn't particularly brilliant, particularly when there was parked cars and things like that. I said, you know, what do you think? And he said, no, it's going to plow into the back of those. Don't even think about it. Batteries are not on issue, 30,000 miles, 8-year warranty on it, so that's not going to be a problem. The superchargers, he said there's loads of them all over the place. He doesn't have to worry. At the moment, he pays 11 pence per kilowatt hour if it's worth it, but an awful lot of those are already free anyway. The charging times are an issue, so the superchargers are brilliant. They charge half the battery in around 20 minutes, so he stops for 40 minutes. He's got a full charge when he pulls over, and he just factors that into his journey to do emails and that kind of stuff. He's saying if you go to other chargers, though, you can get as little as 7 miles per hour of charging, which is just horrific. You'll be there all night. Range, most people don't drive big distances. Well, he said he did a 1,000-mile trip to the south of France and back last year, and he never had a single problem, and he had no problems charging or anything like that. Recalls, he said that was a big issue. We didn't speak much about recalls today, but in the chat in the podcast, Tesla for reliability compared to Chrysler, the car has been back for pretty disappointing warranty work dozens of times in the first year. Leaking sunroof, broken seats, new motor, jammed mirror, door creaks, jamming sunroof, more leaks in the sunroof, a boot lid issue. It's amazing customer service that's addressed every single issue, but waiting for the list of warranty work has taken months rather than hours in the years that I've had it. Once again, enjoyed meeting you, but he said, the one thing he said is he's never had any buyer's regret with this car. He said he gets in it and it feels like he's driving it for the first time every single time. And I've got to say, I loved it. It was a load of fun. I'm going to put a YouTube video up on British Tech Live at gmail.com, and you can all have a watch of it there. I've done the whole trip that we did and all the questions I asked Paul and all the answers that he gave, and it was brilliant. I loved it as a car. It was absolutely superb, but there's significant issues with production, I would say, from what he was talking to me about the way it's made and that kind of stuff. But the screen is beautiful, the functions are beautiful, and it's just a lovely car. So thank you, Paul, for coming and doing that. It was absolutely awesome.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Right, Patrice, you've got first story, you've got dibs.
Yeah.
Instagram's big redesign goes live with colourful new icon, black and white app, and lots more.
Correct. You've probably already gotten that on your iPhone, probably, or if you have an Android, or I don't know about Windows Phone. Instagram, I think yesterday or today, I think yesterday, released the new Instagram app with a new, I wouldn't call it colourful icon, it's definitely has less colors than the old one, or at least it looks less colorful than the old one. Maybe it has more colors by the number, I don't know. It's a complete redesign, really. It's not just changing the icon, putting in another UI color, and that's it. the core functionality is still the same, but it uses a little bit different icons, has some to a certain degree also have changed the UX a little bit, so the way you interact with it. I really liked it. I mean, I'm a big fan of Instagram for I don't know what reason. I just like to post stuff there. I like that redesign. Is it the best redesign ever? Probably not. But it's okay.
So as an Instagram fanboy, you're happy with it. But if you're not a fanboy, you'd be struggling.
I don't know whether you would be struggling because it hasn't changed that much that you can't use it anymore, or it definitely hasn't gotten worse in any way. But it also hasn't gotten better.
No. I mean, are the filters improved or?
To be honest, I don't use them, so I can't tell you whether they are any better or any worse. I would guess probably the same.
Yeah, Muller says no. And they were pretty shit to start with, it has to be said. Anyone else got an Instagram account, and are they bothered about changes, and are they worried about the...
Well, my daughter turned 13 last week, and I said, hey, you're 13, you can have a Facebook account. She's like, no, don't care, because you and Mum are on there. And Nan and Grandad are on there. And she's all about Instagram, and I think this is just...
Did she finish that off with, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, or something?
well... Probably, but you know, all the kids are about Instagram. This is a lunge for the kids, for the more modern kind of people who use Instagram. You know, this has been the same icon forever. You know, I saw the icon update yesterday. I can't really see much change in the UI. I think it's just it's appealing to the audience who they know that they're appealing to, because it's the kids.
I think it's also, it has something to do with, I mean, the whole thing was still using the skeuomorphic design that was popular a couple of years ago, and that definitely isn't popular anymore. So it also was just catching up with the time, I would say.
But once you're in the app, it's pretty much the same app that we always knew and loved, you know. It was surprising to see that so many news articles are saying Instagram update their icon, and once you get inside the app, that there's not much has changed really. It's kind of like a Google Doodle. It's kind of like, oh, Google's got a new Doodle.
I got that from what Patrice was saying, though. That's what I thought when Patrice was talking.
No, it's the thing is it has changed on the interface also. It's not just a different color on the interface and that's it. As I said, not big changes, so it's not everything is different in different phrases, all of that. But there are some minor changes, like when you apply filters, not that I would do it, but I saw the screen, when you select the photos, small improvements here and there. It's not, as I said, it's a sweeping change, but it's, I would maybe even call it better, a little bit better, at least for me. I mean, I'm a heavy user on Instagram. I probably post one or two pictures every day. So for me, definitely better. As I said, it's not exciting.
Carrie, you're being very quiet because you now have a device that can post to Instagram, so have you not worked that out yet?
Actually, I do have one of these. I just haven't turned it on yet.
What's the update on the sister's phone? How far have you got?
Not any further than the last time we spoke. Listen.
Oh, man.
I don't need to carry a computer around with me to make phone calls. I just need a phone to do that.
I don't need to. But what about if you want to take a nice carry picture around the computer that makes phone calls?
What if I want to do what?
Take a nice picture and show it to all your friends on social media.
I have like 5 cameras.
So you do that all on cameras. You don't have any. And then you reprocess it in the computer so it's perfect. You don't do any in-phone editing.
No.
The only in-phone editing that your phone does is a text.
There's a lot of things I don't use my phone for.
Oh, right, I know.
That one's pretty specific. I mean, I also don't use my phone to drive my car, and I don't use my phone to...
I've known that for 10 years since we had the same phone. We don't have the same phone anymore.
Well, it amazes me, you know, because I know I have a nephew, and I know that, he's not really interested in Facebook either. He thinks that that's all for out of touch adults. They do the whole Snapchat thing, and that's a lot of effort, in my opinion, to make messages with emojis and stuff. I don't have that much time on my hands, but
granddad,
I just give them a hard time. I just try and play like I'm an old man and go, "You kids in that chatter snap."
What do you mean play? You're not a million miles away from that already. There's not a lot of method acting going into that role.
Hey, listen, I found that if you eat dinner at about 4:30, there's no crowds. And you can get some good specials.
No, you have to eat dinner at 4:30, so you don't get gassed just before you go to bed.
That's not a problem for me.
That was one of my favorite Fraser episodes where his dad says to him, "Just admit it, you can't eat pizza after 9 o'clock. And Fraser looks at him and goes, "What's on the pizza?" It's true. So true.
Yeah. By the way, Instagram also updated the other apps, but I can't even remember the names. I think Hyperloop.
They're that good. You brought this as a story. It's an upgrade, but it's not very good, actually. And they upgrade all the other apps, but I can't remember what they're called. But, I thought we could talk for 20 minutes about this. Jesus Christ. To be fair to Patrice, he only knew he was coming on the Mac Show at 6:45. So.
I'm really excited about this. I thought that we could talk more about this.
Oh, man alive.
Yeah.
Gary's realized this has come to an end and he's posted his article in straight away.
Moving it along.
Yeah, this is over. Patrice, I just want you to know, mate, we'll let you have a do-over, all right, mate? If you want another one, it's fine.
No, that's okay.
Google Chirp may be the same as Amazon's Echo rival, and you could end up with OK Google in your home. I mean, we had a bit of a chat about Viv on the Mac Show, and there was some impressive stuff and some not really particularly impressive stuff, but the people are certainly trying to get your voice pattern. There's no question of that, Gary.
I have my stepsister has the Amazon Echo in her home, and while I was visiting there, some question came up about an actor or a movie, and he went to ask the Amazon Echo, and it just didn't work. It was a hilarious failure. And in one of my videos, I had said something, I can't remember what it was, but it caused, according to the comments, some folks that are viewers of mine on YouTube, it caused their Amazon Echoes to kick on in the room because of something I said. I know, but
yeah, Alexis, no, I get that. I got loads of letters of complaint last week because I said "I say Siri" or "Excuse me, Siri," and it all came on.
Yeah, which is hilarious. That's great. We should do that intentionally in these podcasts and
I did, mate.
No, you need to follow it up with something. You know, to put something embarrassing on their phone or possibly incriminating.
I did. I said, "Hey Siri, bollocks," and it posted it.
All right. Well, I guess I'm lagging behind the times. You've already beat me to my idea. But anyway, so Google's got the Chirp.
I didn't need to wait 20 minutes for that news.
I'm hoping that the Google Chirp is better than Alexis, the Amazon Echo, because I certainly could see a use for it. You know, not having a smartphone around and you're watching TV. Where do I know that actor from? Or you know, those little arguments people get into that are so quickly solved with a quick IMDb search or Google search. So I think this has more promise, in my opinion, than Amazon's Echo.
It's a similar looking device in that it's a cylinder. It hasn't got the perforations at the bottom at the sides, but it has got a perforated dome on the top, which is as the Echo has. What impressed you and what depressed you about your sister's Echo?
I just don't really see a purpose behind it. First of all, the accuracy of it. When it was asked a question, it didn't understand the question.
Well, have a look at who's giving it to you. What's the purpose behind something that Amazon gives you?
Well, obviously, it's marketing, right? Sell they want to see what you're interested in.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, but that's true of any modern corporation today. I don't really mind that so much if the device functions as advertised, but it failed to do so. So I'm hoping that Google will embed this with the Nest technology and such that you'll be able to more easily control your Internet of Things through talking to the device. I don't know. I don't like the way Amazon implemented the Echo. So I'm hoping that Google has taken their time to come out with, you know, how long has Echo been around? A year? More than a year?
Yeah, I guess about that.
So Google's been pretty slow to come out with something to compete with that. And I'm hoping the reason was they were making it right. So it may be my naivety, but it seems to me that there's a lot of potential here for a device that could, you know, be your virtual butler.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Internet of Things is a massive market, and I think Satya Nadella was right to say that they want to focus on the Internet of Things for Microsoft's viewpoint. Whether they've done that or not is a different argument, different question. But, you know, certainly for me, one of the things I've done this week is finally fit up my Wemo lights. So now I can turn all the lights in the studio on and off remotely, and I can set up rules for them that they'll do things, and I've got if this, then that will allow them to do stuff.
And that's cool.
That Internet of Things idea, I love that idea most definitely. And this thing, you know, if I was on Amazon, I use Amazon a lot, you know, an Echo would be perfect for me. And I said, oh, you know, I want some PLA filament for my 3D printer. I want a new set of strings for my bass guitar. I want, you know, that kind of stuff. And it was, oh, okay, I've got the following. The only thing that strikes me as a bit odd is if you buy things, you buy things visually. And it, you know, I don't think it does it, but you know, if the Echo was linked to your TV, where it would switch your TV on via the HDMI connection, and then it would show you, this is what you're talking about. I can buy this for you. Would you like it delivered tomorrow on Amazon Prime? Yes, please, Alexa. Thank you very much. Okay, say your keyword that allows me to buy things. Bang, there you go, it's coming tomorrow. I think it'd be an invaluable addition to my life, and I'd definitely have it. It would be a seriously stupid addition to my life financially. But
well, they're saying that in that same line of thought, that Chirp could prove even more helpful performing digital tasks. It could lean on Google's arsenal of superb online services like Google Now, Play Music, Gmail, Calendar. You may even be able to tap into Chromecast or Android TV on the same Wi-Fi network. The idea of saying, okay, Google, play House of Cards, and then having your next unwatch episode to pop up on your TV.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Which you've kind of got with Siri, you know, with the Apple TV, you hold the button down, you can say, show me, and it gives you options of what's on Netflix and what you can buy from Apple as well as. Not that you'd know anything about Apple, but...
You know what I want the Amazon Echo to connect to? Amazon Mechanical Turk. So I can tell the Echo to tell someone to do something.
And you want the Mechanical Turk to do what?
I don't know, some task.
Is that a German thing? Because no, the Turkish came and helped rebuild Germany.
No, that is an Amazon Web Service thing where you can basically hire people to do certain tasks.
Mechanical Turk.
Isn't that just a bloke hiding in a cupboard?
So it's basically Fiverr.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's misuse of midgets.
Well, maybe you could hire somebody on Fiverr to build the app for Echo so that you can use them, whatever this expression is, a mechanical Turk.
It's Turk, yeah. No, I just thought that was a bit bad because the Turkish people rebuilt Germany effectively after the Second World War, so I just thought it was really an improper statement. But being a thick-skinned German.
Oh, now I get it.
Yeah, okay. Being a thick-skinned German, I thought Patrice had kind of glanced it off, but...
Nope.
Yeah. Sorry that my history got in the way of that. Beating Patrice's Mechanical Turk.
Does it play chess?
Well, you could get a game that it could play on, you know, where you could do a strategy game with it on, if it could switch your TV on as well as. Mm. And you could get B4 to C6 or whatever, you know, it would work perfectly.
Yeah.
But are they good enough? You know, because I was going to bring a Viv story tonight. I'm desperately finding another story right now.
No, don't talk about it. Let's only talk about it as part of this. It's all right.
Yeah, but, you know, I've got Siri on my phone and iPad and those sort of things, and it's a glorified egg timer, really, because you sit there and...
That's so true. No, we're laughing because it's adept.
It is, though. You know, apart from going, well, tell me, you know, set a time for 2 minutes. You know, at what point do we sit there and go, actually... I'm going to sit there and talk to, I've heard people saying, oh, well, Alexa's great because you're going to sit there and talk to your house. Well, no, you're not really going to do that because you've got a real knob if you're going to do it. And you really do. And
right.
It's not that intelligent. It really isn't that intelligent. You sit there and you go, oh, well, set a timer for 3 minutes. My wife looks at me and she gives me those dead eyes. And she's like, you absolute knob.
You sad wanker.
Yeah, she does. She does. And she's like, you know, she's got Siri on her iPhone. And she asks, do you use it? Never. And I'm like, well, you look like an idiot.
She shoots me the sad wanker eyes.
Yeah. I don't think, you know, maybe I'm old or anything like that, but there's not a time that I don't think it's going to be socially acceptable to do that.
Well, see, now, you need something. So I worked at Twinings many, many years ago, and I was talking to one of the tea guys there, and he said all tea is, the perfect cup of tea is 5 minutes. It brews for 5 minutes, and that's the full flavour. Beyond 5 minutes, it stews. Under 5 minutes, it's not ready. So all tea should be brewed for 5 minutes. I'm like, cool, got you. And I asked him the stupid question about, what do you do if you don't like it that strong? He said, put less tea in, which was a bit obvious after he said it. But all tea is 5 minutes. And then when I lived at home with my parents years and years and years and years ago, Mum used to make me a cup of tea in the morning, and it used to be, you could stand the spoon up in the damn thing by the time she brought it up to me. Which, you know, it was a free cup of tea. Thanks, Mum, for bringing it up. I love you dearly, but it was a bit too strong. So in the end, I switched to Earl Grey tea because it was easy, because she couldn't overdo it. And then I came back and I started making Earl Grey at 5 minutes. And you could tell with Earl Grey for definite when you're too short. If you pull it out at 3 minutes and it's a horrible, horrible light taste, and you pull it out at 6 minutes and it's a disgustingly overstewed taste, 5 minutes is the magic mark. And we've done test cups of tea just as a laugh, and the wife's gone, oh yeah, there's a definite difference. So when I got the watch and I was like, I put it on, set a timer, and my timer on my watch is always at 5 minutes, and she'll make a cup of tea and she'll say, right, give me five, and I have to go and start my timer. She wants me to start the timer. You see, that's the thing you need to go for, right? Get a timer started for something that's important, like the pasta or the rice, or,
you know, right,
or something that she can relate to, and then you'll win her over, mate. Slowly, she'll be your girl again.
I've been timing the wrong thing, haven't I?
You have. What are you timing, mate? Because if you're timing your sexual activity at 5 minutes, then yeah, that's where you're going wrong, pal. But it's not the timer.
Wrong. 37 seconds, world record.
So it seems to me we're adding an extra step. Why isn't it the timer built into the tea kettle, or why isn't the timer built into the stovetop?
Well, they are built into the stovetop, but they're a pain in the ass to set. Who knows how to set their stovetop?
But I'm saying, instead of putting the technology in the watch, why aren't we putting this technology in the stovetop? Use it like a microwave oven. You set your time, you walk away, the unit turns itself off. It avoids a fire hazard. It prevents overcooking or burning.
We're talking about steeping a tea, by the way, or stewing a tea, not boiling it. The water's already boiled in a timed kettle. That we have those now.
Why can't we have intelligent tea bags that know when they're done?
Because tea bags are shit.
But in Germany, yeah.
What Patrice is saying there is he drinks real tea.
Yes.
Yeah. Earl Grey's minging full stop, says Batwinch. You're talking out your arse, mate.
This story's gone bad.
I did work for an electrical firm years ago. One of the guys there was working live, and I said to him, why do you always work live at home? And he said, because I don't know how to reset the video clock. And it's the same at home. You don't know how to reset the clock on the microwave, so you leave it on. Mm-hmm. Then if we can set a timer on a cooker top, I mean, that's just ludicrous.
No.
But you set a timer.
So I thought I was on a technology show. I apologize.
Yeah, no.
I use my timer on the cooker.
Mate, sorry, Carrie, but you're in no position to start throwing stones.
Nope.
Sorry, Bully, you had a serious point there. Go on.
Oh, I do use my cooker. You just one button and you select how long you want. It's incomplete minutes, unfortunately. That's about it.
Yeah, no, Microsoft, because I used to use the timer on the Apple, on my iPhone, and then I went from a 4 to the Nokia 1020. And the timer on that, you had to download a third-party timer, but the API only gave it a plus or minus accuracy of 1 minute. So you'd set a 5-minute timer, and it could be anywhere between 4 minutes and 7 minutes. It wasn't necessarily five, because the API didn't have accuracy on it.
Oh, God, that the deep hands put in.
Oh, teas made, yes, they were brilliant. Goblin teas made. classic sign of the 70s. Mom and Dad had one of those. They used it. I remember I saw them use it twice in my entire life. So going back to the chip, the chirp even, I want one of these devices. I'd like the Amazon one because it helps me with my shopping and that kind of stuff. But I'd buy one for the office quite happily, no question.
You don't want that.
I don't know. And it'd be good for, you know, like the kids if they've got a homework question and if it did it. But that's the point that Carrie's making, you know, how many of these things don't do it? And if you look at Siri, it just doesn't work. You know, the number of times that you've asked it to do things that it's supposed to be able to do and it just comes back with a blank or it can't do it, or you say, excuse me, Siri, the correct word, and it doesn't start up. That happens no end. I'm going to get emails now saying, you know, it's not excuse me, Siri, it's hey. But that's not, I know it is. But the, you know, it doesn't work. And Viv, I don't think, will work as well as they showed the other day. Viv is, you know, just a demo at the moment, and everyone going, oh, wow, Siri's going to be really surprised and really shocked at the fact of how good Viv is. I don't think Viv's that good to start with. I think it's just, it's, you know, it answers some basic questions. You want to show how good a voice activation system is. Get a mixed audience in of people from all ethnic minorities and throw a mic out there and say, right, go on, say what you like and see what happens. That's when you cracked it.
I've got the Ford Sync system in my Mustang, and I put a USB flash drive with about 1,200 of my favorite songs in the USB drive in the car, and then I tell it what song I want to hear. And it's sometimes really fun to just mumble into it to see what it comes up with. I mean, it would be great if it just said, oh, and it does sometimes, but if it said, you know, sorry, I didn't understand you. But it really makes the attempt to play something that sounds similar to whatever you just mumbled or made up sounds. And one of the most amusing ones is the song Mm-mm-mm-mm by Crash Test Dummies.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to tell the unit to play MMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMM
The Thiess, yeah, no. Good. But Ford, how good is Ford Sync for the voice commands?
It's wonderful if I'm in the car by myself. When I want to show it off to people, it never works. It's like that dancing frog.
Yeah, I've got Ford Sync. It does work.
It works wonderful when I'm by myself. But the minute I show it off, it embarrasses me every time.
You need to use the microphone, dude.
Oh, sorry. I've got the Ford Sync in my car, and it does work quite well, but it sometimes plays the wrong track, or sometimes phones the wrong people.
No, mate, Siri, sometimes you can ask Siri to play a specific track, and it doesn't even play any friggin' music. I'd take, you know, the wrong track would be luxury at times.
Yeah, it's when it phones the wrong person when you say, can you ring the wife?
Yeah. It doesn't know who your wife is, that's why.
No, I don't
know. You haven't told it.
No, I haven't.
Good story, mate. Excellent. Righty boy, what are you looking for? Are you going to go with that or not? Are you going for a different one?
Well, yeah, well, Viv is my story. We probably covered it. I had a backup one in the and Nintendo, who I think from all of our kind of youth, we all used to love, and it give us all the kind of enjoyment we used to love as well. But they're kind of creeping into mobile, and their first step was the Mitimo social app, and they're talking about that things like Animal Crossing and Firestone are going to be the things that they're going to move into in the future. And I'm thinking, you Nintendo, you've got a console that's just failed with the Wii U. Because the original Wii was kind of like the best-selling console of all time. And I've still got one. I actually love it. It's the best console ever. And you can't beat a bit of Wii bowling or Wii tennis. Why can't a company who is just staring down the barrel of almost bankruptcy, I think, not embrace the world that's moved on for like mobile? Because I was talking to my daughter this week, and you've got like... Wii U Minecraft, and they got Mario. I showed my daughter that, and she's like, oh, that's absolutely amazing, you know.
Mario Wii... Minecraft?
Yeah, on Wii U. So you got Wii U Minecraft, and it's got all the Mario. So it's got, so you can build, like, Mario levels in there. It's got the Mario characters. And it's like, that is so amazing. That is, like, absolutely brilliant. Because they've just got this canon of title that is just like, you know, beyond belief. But they just, they're so reluctant to release it on any other platform but their own. You know, and Microsoft had this problem as well, you know, like, you know, you have Windows, you have Office, it's, you know, Windows only. And Microsoft done quite well by, you know, releasing Office for iPad and Android and those sort of things. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, a company that's literally dying in the water, you know, they've announced, I think this month, that they've got a console that isn't coming out to 2017, and no one really cares. But why don't you embrace the technology that is here and now? Because, you know, would you pay for Mario on your iPhone? I'd pay $5 or whatever for that. They'd make a fortune.
Yeah. We said this the other week, didn't we, with the Nintendo stuff, that, you know, it's an untapped market with iOS and they've never taken it. They're not quick on the uptake, it would seem, for how to utilise and maximise their bang for buck with their brand.
Yeah, but it's just crazy in the fact that if you have a canon of games, that you can make money again and again and again. And they've tried to cannibalize their own system. They've re-released games again and again and again on their own system. But no one's buying Wii U's. No one's buying Wii's. No one's buying the NX. You know, they announced a system that they can't tell you anything about. They go, we might have a console in 2017. Well, no one's going to wait around for that, you know. Nope. Sega did quite well because you can get Sonic on Apple TV is the best game ever.
Yeah, no. I think there's a big mess. And there's an awful lot would work with the 2D platform games from Nintendo, most definitely on Apple TV, and they haven't taken it.
Mm.
Original Mario games would be perfect on it.
Hmm. But it's just you kind of sit there and you're an executive at Nintendo and you look at your declining sales and you think, you know,
not going to do anything about it.
Exactly. Where are people playing games? Are they playing games on mobile? Oh, let's not put games on mobile. It's just like it's the most insane. You know, obviously I'm making up now because I had a story that I was going to do and I picked one up and I'm trying to think very quickly. But it's the fact that you sit there and you know, us as normal human beings would go, if a business model doesn't work, don't stick to it. But they really are sticking to the kind of the old Windows, the Microsoft model of it's our platform, it stays on our platform, and we're never going to make any more money out of it.
I mean, I think the one of the other things that's quite interesting as well is the findability of applications in particularly the Apple App Store, because there's so many of them. But if you just type Sega in, forget Sonic the Hedgehog, if you type Sega in, the first responses that you get back are all Sonic games. They are all Sega games. It doesn't come back with any detritus that's anything else. And I'm sure that if you put in Nintendo, if I do it now and see what comes up, excuse me. Well, that's interesting. If you put in Nintendo, the first thing it comes up with is Miimotomo. The second thing it comes up is Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, what are you on about? And, you know, there is the SNES emulator type stuff. And then there's rip-off games like Poppycart and that kind of stuff, which, they, you know, they're making the money out of the fact that Nintendo should be making that money, and they're just not doing it.
But you'd pay money if the old games came onto your phone or your iPad.
If Nintendo came to iOS, mate, I would be bankrupt, because if I didn't buy it, the kids would buy it, and that'd be it. I'd be stopping their iPads from being able to buy games straight off.
Yeah.
That's why it's cheaper to just do what I did. Look behind me.
Yeah, the Galaga machine. But you
got, well, it's more than Galaga. That's got 60 games in it.
But how many Nintendo
games? Donkey Kong and Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man, Centipede, Millipede, Galaxian, Space Invaders, Dig Dug, it goes on and on.
When was the last time you used it?
I'm busy. I have a lot of things going on. I don't have time. What am I, 15? I don't have time to play games.
Muller says he nearly bought Pac-Man today.
Yeah. $4.99,
isn't it? Is that available on...
Yep, it's just been released.
Oh, Ellis would go mental for that.
It's on the front
page. Don't tell him.
Pac-Man... Oh, I'll buy that for Apple TV.
Yeah, it's on Apple TV.
Snake for the Apple Watch. Snake for the Apple Watch, guys.
Nice.
Oh, man. Oh, I could be... Oh, Jesus. Adam Christensen already cost me $4.99 tonight. Git. Bloody git. Muller, what did you bring as a story? This is quite an interesting one, I think.
You want to put the links in I gave you?
Yeah, no, I've clicked a couple of the links already, but go on.
Well, it's not just about Alibaba. I want to bring up buying fake goods online and some of the things we're doing. I mean, this one of the stories is about Alibaba trying to fight the sale of fake and counterfeit goods online, and the fact that many of they've joined the some American group that's anti-fake and anti. Anti-counterfeiting.
The anti-counterfeit group, yeah.
Yeah, and one or two of the big companies.
Well, Gucci have left, haven't they?
Gucci, yeah, and a couple of other are all pulling out. But I don't want to just cast aspersions at Alibaba. I was looking around this particular subject. Facebook sells stuff online that's bad. What's the other group? Gumtree have big problems.
Amazon.
Amazon. I was talking to it. Ewan, I've certainly tried to buy Nokia batteries and ended up with a pile of poo. And I know another famous online person bought a Nokia battery, and it wasn't even a battery, it was just completely solid plastic.
Yeah.
So what the problem is that how are we going to fight online counterfeiting? I mean, particularly the Chinese, there's another article somewhere I found, I'll try and find it in a second, where the Chinese are starting to try to fight it as well, because obviously a lot of their citizens now have got money to burn, and they're
getting ripped off. Yeah,
they're getting ripped off,
probably by their own people.
Yeah. I'll try and find that.
I mean, Michael Kors has gone as well. That's a fashion brand group. They've gone since, this is the quote from. I'm not going to get sued here. The quote from Michael Kors fashion brand was that Alibaba are our most dangerous and damaging adversary. Gucci, whose knockoffs are particularly popular in Alibaba sites, quit shortly afterwards. The former IIC chairman, Barbara Coulson, and Professor Cardoza School of a professor at the Cardoza School of Law, a number of bands within the coalition have privately supported the cause decision. And they've gone because of the fact that the people that are the worst protagonists of it have turned up, which I've got to say I feel is quite short-sighted, because if they turn up and they do nothing, I agree, then I think you want to say, nope, this is now a sham and we're going. But if they turn up and those are the people who are probably the most likely to be able to make some significant inroads, so you would want them to be there. I'd certainly say that you couldn't not give them a chance.
I'm just trying to put another article I found where fake goods...
there's one in there as well that you talked about with not just the fact that you got a Nokia battery that didn't work, but there was there's been some reported stories. Press Association have released stories that some of the fake beauty products that are out there have been found with arsenic in them, which you can rub into your skin.
Nice.
They've also been found to contain rat droppings, human urine, poison, and a whole pile of other things.
Yeah, it's certainly a subject that I had in my previous existence. Obviously, selling fake goods on car boot sales, markets, stores. But now that it was easy to find them because you could go to the store and find them. Obviously, now they're selling it online. Places like Gumtree, it's a bit of a cowboy land out there at the moment, and you don't know what you're getting. Obviously, if you buy from Amazon, you can resend it back to Amazon and get a refund. But there's so many fake goods out there, and I think it's a growing problem where people are going to end up buying stuff. I can remember a story of a friend of mine bought a handbag online, paid £900 for it, and it turned out to be a 20 quid knockoff. But the site itself wouldn't return it because they said that she'd swapped it.
Carrie's posted a link to... Go ahead.
Those links in the chat are crazy. One from Kerry.
I mean, those are just brilliant. I mean, this is the first one I was going to shove in here. This is an absolute classic. I'll just get it started, even though it could show badly. So someone wanted a Samsung USB drive, and what they got was two bolts stuck down on the inside of the casings with a 128 gig flash drive in it.
Yeah, and the flash drive...
Megabyte.
The flash drive would basically store everything in loop. So once you go over 128 megabytes, it would just fake it and just override what you already stored on it. So you would only ever have the last minute of a video or anything. So it was actually quite brilliantly done, I would say.
Yeah, Western Digital have got the same kind of problem.
Yeah, my favorite with the Western Digital, according to the story, is the buyer went to China, met with the seller, plugged the drive in, and tested it, and it tested fine.
Yeah.
And they ordered 500 of them.
Nice.
Everybody's looking to save a dollar. Everybody wants a deal. Mm. And people, I don't know when they're going to figure it out, but you do get what you pay for. And corporate America is bad enough as it is with some of the...
Yeah.
Stunts that they pull, for lack of a better word. So it's tough. You know, they just did a story, I want to say it was on 60 Minutes or something, about the medical gowns that the doctors wear that's supposed to keep the blood from seeping in. And they have sleeves falling off of these things, and the company denies any wrongdoing. And in the medical field, as was mentioned in the chat room, this is a huge, huge problem, and it's costing people their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is as well, though, you look at the amount that's being charged and the desire that's out there for products. You know, if you had sneakers or a bag or that kind of stuff, you know, my wife buys expensive leather bags, and they're good quality leather bags and they last a long time. But there's an awful lot of people who go out, and they, particularly kids up to, you know, the 18 to 21-year-old groups or 25-year-old groups, they want something that's got Gucci written on the side of it because they can show it to their mates. And then after a couple of weeks, if it doesn't work anymore, they don't actually care. And we have got a bit of a throwaway culture associated with things that we buy online. And you know, Amber MacArthur, many years ago, when the Indian tablet for 35 quid came out, I said, oh, I'm going to buy one of these. And she said, yeah, all right, that's great, but what are you going to do with it when you're finished? You're going to throw it into landfill? You're going to throw it, recycle it? You know, what are you going to do with it afterwards when you've got this thing that you just wanted to look at because you don't care about 35 quid? What are you going to do with this item? And I felt pretty bad, actually, because I hadn't got an answer. I hadn't thought that far ahead. And I do think that far ahead now, thanks to the fact that she said that. And if you look at a lot of the stuff you buy, you know, the really expensive stuff, yes, it'll last, but actually most people don't want it to last. They just want to show it with it one night to top someone else at a wedding, and then they'll never use it again anyway. So what's the point in paying the high value?
Exactly.
And that fuels the culture.
Yeah. I think the danger, though, is what Deep Pan said about the fake medical supplies, fake cosmetics.
Oh, that's horrific. Yeah.
But, I mean, these things can be dangerous. I mean, there's so many dangers. But look at the balance boards that came out at Christmas. People were buying fakes of those, and they were exploding. And burning and setting fire to places. So,
oh yeah,
it's a massive problem, and it's a problem we've got to get our heads around. Personally,
yeah.
Well, we've been seeing this problem here in the tech sector for some time now, with regards to laptop batteries and cell phone batteries exploding. That's led in its way to now the vaping products, and countless news stories of those vaping products explode, and cause serious bodily harm to the users of that. And hopefully something will be done internationally to put some kind of safeguards in or checking or something to vet out people who make batteries or sell medications or things where, you know, it's one thing when you've got a little flash drive and a hard drive, that's just an old scam, modernized. But when we're talking about health and safety, you know, it seems like it's crossing a line there that somebody, the governments in the countries need to step it up and put some kind of enforcement in there.
Yeah. I mean, Deepan's printed a story on the BBC about record fakes drug haul worth 16 million. But I mean, if you've been buying drugs like cocaine and that kind of stuff, that's been cut with Johnson's baby powder, rat poisons, all kinds of stuff. You know, they thin it out on a constant basis, so you know, whatever you're buying, the chances are you're probably not buying pure anyway.
Mm.
I can remember a few years ago we had an issue at a nightclub in Birmingham, and it was they'd all been buying E's, shall we say.
Yeah, yeah.
And they locked up the drug dealer, and it turned out they were Bob Martins. So at least none of them had worms.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's as long as it's not harmful, I suppose, there's nothing you can do, is there?
I presume that. Well, that you can still lock the bloke up for intention to supply.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a real drug, but people were quite upset when they found out they were buying worming tablets.
Yeah, no.
Well, the big issue here now is fentanyl, and that's starting to appear as narco-type drugs. So they actually are making this stuff, and they're implying it's coming from China, is they're compressing the powder that they're creating into what looks to be Vicodin. It looks exactly like, and now they can't tell by looking at the pill like they used to be able to. And this stuff is so powerful that when they handle it, they have to wear the real high-level hazmat suits that they would wear for Ebola, because just putting it in your hand, it'll absorb through your skin and get you high. And so a lot of people are overdosing and dying because they, I don't know, it's hard to feel sorry for them, I guess, but they thought they were buying a certain illegal drug, and they ended up with a different illegal drug disguised to look like the one they thought they were buying. They end up overdosing and dying. It's happening to a lot of kids now here in the States.
It's a bit like those legal highs that are starting to hit the news, but...
Well, it's interesting. We were walking over to the curry house tonight, and Ellis says he wants a drink with... an isotonic drink, and I'm like, "Why do you want to? Because I want the caffeine." You're 12 years old, man. Why are you stipulating? Why are you requiring a legal high from a caffeine drink? I just like it. I want it. No. And there's social pressure involved in that, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Horrific. Bad news. Bad news. This podcast, all this, is brought to you by UK. Have I done everyone's story?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
You done yours?
No, I'm not doing one. This podcast and all these brought to you by UK2. Brilliant. Love them to bits. Can't tell you enough about how great the service has been for us in the last couple of weeks. We've gone onto a brand new server. The website absolutely flies now. And if you noticed, probably you should find that downloads have improved in terms of speed and things like that of the podcast as well. Please support them. If you're a UK2 listener or UK2 customer already, then when you sign in, just go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2, and they know that you're a returning customer from us, just to sign into your cPanel and that kind of stuff. If you're not, then go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors, and you can get all of the offer codes that are there and get 20% off your basket potentially. We love them to bits. They're brilliant. We couldn't do without it, and please support them, because they've been with us for 9 years now, back when we had nothing to offer them. So please keep up that good work and support them. The Mac Mini Fund is doing brilliantly. We are now past 3. I haven't updated the graphic because I was in Brentwood at 5 o'clock this morning. We've now got a full 3 Mac Minis, thanks to everyone who's given us a donation. It's been incredible. We've got 2 more to go, and when we get those 2, all our problems will be solved. The audio issues will be done, and everything will be swinging and dandy. So please keep going, and also please keep giving us reviews as well. We've got a review this week, but for the Mac show, but we haven't had time to do it, so we'll do it next week. Thank you to anyone that does leave a review in iTunes. It means the world to us, and we will read it out. I absolutely promise it you. No question. And also, if you want to come to the Bash is now on the 22nd and 23rd of July. We've pushed it back to get away from the British Grand Prix, so we hope more people are going to come. But we've kind of gone into the thick of the holiday period a little bit. But there's quite a few people coming, which is nice. Quite a few tickets have gone. If you fancy coming, go to britishtechnetwork.com/bash tickets and order your tickets now. It's £20 for the whole day. You need nothing after that. The food is in. I've checked with Leanne this week. Those fabulous brownies are going to be there. Yes, the caramel, the fudge, and the orange chocolate brownies will be available all day. And a usual fantastic food that she produces. We're going to have loads and loads of fun and games. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. Last year was easily the best bash ever. This one's going to be just as good. That £20 covers absolutely everything for you. Kids under 16 are free of charge, nothing else. If you want to come to the curry the night before, it's a £10 deposit, and that includes, you've got to put a £10 deposit in for your kids as well, because they're going to eat curry just the same, but they don't get involved in the barbell. I think what I'm going to do this year is let everyone pay their own bar bill, because that kind of shocked people last year when it came. Some people had drunk plenty and some people hadn't drunk much. So you sort your own bar bill out this year. Just give us a £10 deposit and we'll just do the curry update at the end. So whatever main meal you order on top, your £10 will cover the starters and half of a bit of your main meal. So 22nd, 23rd of July, make sure you come. It's great. And please also check out Hoya, because they support us. They bought us a whole Mac Mini, which made a massive difference. So thank you to them for that. Mark from Hoya, if you want to know more about Hoya glasses and get fitted and have a look at the range that there is, just send an email to podcasts@hoya.co.uk and Mark will deal with it. And that doesn't matter where you are in the world. If you're in Australia, if you're in Canada, if you're in America, if you're in the Philippines, wherever you are in the world, send your email to Mark. Mark will put you in touch with a local rep and they will give you the personal fitting that you got, that you saw here with me. So please check them out as well. As time for the cool thing, Patrice.
Yeah, I struggled a little bit to find a cool thing for the big show this time, but I picked one of my favorite YouTube channels, and especially a video they posted recently on Australia's, and the Deadpool video, Deadpool on Australia featuring Deadpool. If you have never seen Honest Traders, they do, I would say, the comedic version that is probably closer to the real movie than the trailers usually are. And every now and then they have, really actors, directors, whatever, producers from the real movies, part of the trailer. And in this case, yeah, it was Deadpool. It was really, really funny. It's probably the best one they've ever done. And yeah, they also have I would say, at least for me, they have a great sense of humor, and that fits well with me.
Excellent. Is Deadpool a film worth watching?
Definitely. Probably also one of the best movies I've seen in recent years.
Yeah, there's one on Jack that used to work for me last year. He came back and he did say to me, it's not one for kids.
Probably not. I mean, I went twice. Once with I think 16 now.
15.
So that worked. But yeah, if your kids are younger, I probably wouldn't take them.
It's a 15 classification over here. But yeah. Even Jack was saying, you know, the subject matter of sex addiction is a bit more than 15 even then.
Yeah.
So Batwinch says it's awesome. Okay. Is it on Prime? No, it's not. Not yet.
Not yet.
It's not even on iTunes until 2 weeks' time, so...
Yeah.
Good pick. Carrie, where are you, sir?
Well, first of all, I love Honest Trailers. I did see the Deadpool thing. It's hilarious. Cool. And I just had this conversation with my sister. I said, why don't we have my nephew watch, if he hasn't seen Deadpool? And she says, I think he's too young for it. I think it's too violent. And I said, he's 12. His video games are more violent, so... She says to him, your uncle wants to know if you want to watch Deadpool with him. I don't know how you're going to feel about that. It's pretty gory. He pulls out his phone and shows her favorite videos of the finishing moves in Mortal Kombat 10. And he asked her, is it any worse than this? And she said, no, I think you're going to be fine. And she says, Jesus, that was some sick shit.
Yeah, no, Mortal Kombat finishing moves, the lethals are horrible.
So I'll stick with the YouTube theme. Why not? Let's switch over. This is one of my videos that I did. And it's for I wasn't paid to do this video. This is not a paid endorsement.
Hey guys,
this is a keyboard that is antimicrobial coating on it and is waterproof and is only $23 on Amazon and made by Kensington. You know, a lot of people have accidental spills on their keyboard. And a study many years ago, and I'm sure it's been repeated since, shows that the most bacteria-infected dirty items in a typical office is the telephone, the keyboard, and the mouse. You know, it gets pretty disgusting when we discuss what is found on the keyboards and mice when they swab them.
Yeah.
And of course, they have keyboards that are dishwasher safe, particularly in the medical field, but they tend to cost upwards of $100 or more, and they have that.
All keyboards are dishwasher safe.
Say again?
All keyboards are dishwasher safe. Just don't leave them plugged in while you put them in the dishwasher.
That's not necessarily true. Depending if it's a wireless keyboard, there's a lot of factors involved. But a wired traditional keyboard, traditionally, we have washed them back in the early 2000s, late 90s. And they were the old Keytronics 101 keyboards. And we'd put them in an ultrasonic cleaner with some Simple Green diluted with water. And then we leave them out in the Arizona sun to dry for about 4 or 5 days. And about 8 out of 10 would work. And the other two would just get thrown in the garbage. So they didn't always work. So this is a keyboard designed to be washed, has an antimicrobial coating, and it only costs $23. So I think it's a really good value for people who are prone to spills or have kids that are prone to spills. And, you know, when you spill something on your keyboard, that keyboard's plugged into your motherboard. That shorts out your motherboard. And it can cause a catastrophic system failure that can be very expensive. So, you know, and it's a nice keyboard. It looks like any other keyboard. It's got a good feel to it. It doesn't appear to be anything special. And I think more people should be aware that this technology exists and it's affordable. And that's why I made the video.
Bronwyn threw her keyboard in the dishwasher just like I told her to. And she said it came out beautifully. She plugged it in way sooner than I would have done as well. But leave it on some heat. Leave it with a bag of rice or something like that. And it nearly always. I've put all of my keyboards. The only one I have never put in the dishwasher to clean it is this Logitech one because it carries its own current because it's got a rechargeable battery. But if you've got a dumb keyboard, certainly my Apple keyboard here. I've got one of the long Apple keyboards that's been stood up vertically in my glasses tray, and when that's come out, it's just had an upside down shake over the sink, and then it's been left over a radiator for 3 or 4 days till it's dried, and they always work first time.
So maybe an important caveat here to mention is you're not putting it on the dry cycle, because that will kill the keyboard if you put it on the sanitizer where it gets the high heat to dry the dishes in the dishwasher. You want to take it out while it's wet, just like you explained. Take it out before the dry cycle and then leave it somewhere to dry.
I just put it on a normal wash cycle for the dishes. I didn't do anything special, so. And it works.
Yeah, that's not a good idea. Like these flash drives, you know, you've seen all these tests with flash drives where they run them over with a car, they freeze them in a block of ice. But you stick one in a pair of pants, put it in the washing machine, chances are it'll still work, but it's when you move it to the dryer, that's what's going to kill the flash drive.
Right. But that might be static.
I think it's heat.
Static electric shock.
Maybe some testing needs to be done.
I'm going to take my keyboard home and I'm going to shove it through the dishwasher again, even though I've done it 3 times, just to prove you're wrong.
Well, for $23, you can get a keyboard that's designed to go in there and not have
any anxiety. I think it's a great price. Don't get me wrong.
And antimicrobial coating. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. That'll last a week.
Are we confusing dishwashers and washing machines? Because I'm getting the impression Kerry's on about washing machines.
No, I'm talking about dishwashers. I confuse them when I do that all the time.
Yeah, no, that's why IKEA love you, because you're constantly buying glasses there. Because you confuse the dishwasher and the washing machine.
Do I have to put them together myself?
That got shit when I had to explain it quickly, didn't I? Muller, cool thing, please.
Posted the link already. It's my £8, and it's basically a camera connection kit for an iPad. So.
But this is not the Apple one, because we don't do Apple on this show. This is a third-party one.
A third-party one, and it's got a lightning cable there. You've got a USB to power it, and it does USB 1, 2, and 3, and various different cards. And I have tested it, and it works fine.
Yeah, no, it looks great.
And it's only £8, so if you broke it, you could buy another one.
But what's interesting is you've got USB hubs on that as well.
Yeah, you've got to...
I'm not sure what you're going to plug into them, but...
A USB?
But something with a USB on it. But what devices would you be able to use natively on your...
I'll put a card reader in there with a 32-gig card and downloaded some video.
So you bought a card reader and you put a card reader in the USB?
Yeah.
Okay, right, cool.
The card reader wouldn't fit in the lightning port, would it?
Okay.
Bless him.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was good. For £8.
That's awesome for £8, mate, because I think the basic connection kit's something like £40, isn't it, for the Apple one?
Yeah. And they do a 30-pin one. If you look, there's a 30-pin one as well. But I just got the lightning one. So £8, and it's on Prime, free delivery.
Excellent, mate. Good, like that. My cool thing, it's Righty's go, sorry dude.
Sorry mate.
Going out of order, you see.
A couple of weeks ago, I was in the chat room, Opera.
Opera, you said it the other week. Yep.
Did put VPN into their browser. And it's been brilliant. I've been testing it for a couple of weeks and it's been really good. This week they released Opera VPN for iOS. and it's completely free, unlimited VPN for your phone. And it is so simple. It works just absolutely brilliantly. Download the app, go into the app, turn the VPN on. You are secure. You're hidden. Access block content to which country you want to be in. This is the way things are going to go from now. I'm sure that all browsers in the future are going to adopt this going forward. Maybe operating systems as well are going to adopt this going on. Opera, not a browser or a company that I'd have chosen to go with, but I'm using their browser and their VPN now, and it is absolutely top notch.
Yeah, I've always loved the Opera browser. I think it's great. Yeah. And now they've got the VPN stuff built in. It's absolutely brilliant. If you've if you've got the mirroring through to Apple TV and you go to Hulu or something like that, you can watch your American Hulu account. Because I've signed up for a Hulu account. They don't care where you are to sign up for it. They just care where you are to play it. So I can start watching Hulu.
Yep. So it's full. It's full with because I sat in, because when I downloaded the app, it installed their Coast browser, which is Opera's new mobile browser. And I thought, oh, maybe just doing VPN for your browser. And then normally when I want to share a video with my family last night, and I normally can see my TV, and I couldn't see my TV because I was on a different network because the VPN was on. I turned it off and I could then get on. So it's like full VPN for your iPhone or your iPad. It's just, you know, this is a new revolution of, you know, with WhatsApp turning on encryption for all of their kind of things. Privacy is really core to all these companies' kind of ethos now, and this is just a really great free unlimited VPN for your iOS device.
Love it, mate. Already downloaded it. That's testament enough.
Thank you.
Cool one, mate. My cool thing, you're going to laugh at this, because you go, this is not high-tech, Ewan, for Christ's sake. It's not high-tech at all, but it's the most simple idea that you've ever seen, and everyone goes, when they look, they're like, that's so cool. Automatic filling water balloons. We had it at the weekend. These things are brilliant. You buy them on Amazon. They're not cheap. You get 8 for 100. 101 for £8. But the premise of it is so simple. So you take this thing here at the top end of the tube. You get a coupling that fits directly onto your hose of your tap for your hose outside, and then there's a whole pile of tubes that come down, and auto pre-filled on them are balloons waiting to be filled with water, proper water balloons, and they're very easily burst, so you've got to be careful. You have to fill them over a bucket of water, because if they drop on the floor, they just burst. But you turn the tap on, and these things fill up, and 30 of them fill up in about 60 seconds. And this is the beautiful part. As soon as they're full of enough water, the weight of the water pulls them off the tube, and they automatically seal with a rubber band that's on them. And then you pick them up, and you throw them at each other. And you have loads of fun. It's such a simple idea. Yeah. They're not cheap. They're £8.95 on Amazon with Prime for 100 water balloons. So there's 33, 34 there. You can get bigger packs that are like £26, and your bang for your buck goes up because of that. But Sharon bought two lots of these. There was 100 ones, and she bought a 500 one. And we sat and had water fights in the garden for 2 hours last Sunday. And it was hilarious, absolutely hilarious. And Sharon took one full in the face on the side of the head off my mate Matt, and he threw it with some venom. What quite he threw isn't at my wife like that, I don't know, but there's a bigger story there maybe. But he hit her full on, and she was like, oh, well, that really hurts. But next day there wasn't a single mark on anyone. And, you know, we threw them at the kids, they threw them, you know, it hit Bryony, it hit Ellis. Not a single mark on anyone afterwards. They were perfectly safe, and they were just the most simplistic idea. They're expensive, but they are so much fun, and they last a fair while. As long as you say, right, okay, everyone only have three, and you have a little fight with three. And the thing is as well that's quite nice is if they hit you, sometimes they'll bounce off you, or you can catch them, and then you're starting to throw back ammunition at other people. It's really cool.
Yeah.
But they're just a simple idea, and they're not technology fun, if you like. But, you know, they're not teenage, but I thought they were awesome. As soon as I played them, I was like, this is my pick on the big show. No question.
This is awesome.
Where can we get a hold of you, chaps? Patrice?
As always, every week on The Mac Show, on Twitter at casual_kitchen, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Have you recorded a Casual Kitchen recently?
Recorded, yes. Released, yeah. One from fall, I think. So I'm still a little bit back ordered, basically.
Okay. Carrie, where are you, sir?
You can check out my latest videos at carrieholzman.com. Doing some videos for Newegg at newegg.tv.
Yeah.
And the podcast Tech Vets with Mike Smith. We talk about the trials and tribulations of running a computer repair business. So we just did a new episode recently at tech-vets.com.
Excellent, mate. Muller, where are you, sir?
Muller Biker on Twitter, on British Tech Network occasionally. And
always throwing grief in the Slack room at people.
Oh, God, yeah. And can be often found in East Anglia. worrying pigs and turkeys.
Righty worrying.
Righty worrying, yeah.
Yeah.
I was only 30 miles away the other day, telly.
And you didn't go for a beer with Righty.
I wasn't really in the mood.
You can drive drunk for 30 miles in Norwich.
Oi!
Before anyone notices. And Righty boy.
Follow on Twitter, mate, in the Slack room. And next time, Muller, having a beer.
Definitely.
Okay.
You two need to hug. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Follow us on British Tech, at British Tech on Twitter. You can send us a donation through Patreon if you'd like to. You can send a donation to at Bagel Tech News on PayPal as well. And that will be the fund for the Mac Mini stuff as well. So thank you to all the people that have sent something through. You're absolutely wonderful human beings. And we're nearly there. So two more to go. Thank you so much to everyone who's given for that. We're back again next week on Thursday as normal. Have a great week. See you then.